Diary, November 1886. Italy, November 3rd to 12th, 1886. Third visit to Italy. November 3rd, 1886. We left Valence in early morning for Torre Pellice. We thought something could be saved by taking third class. Our only fear was we could not control the passengers if they chose to smoke. But as we could save 21 francs, we concluded to venture the first part of the journey. We did well, but when we had to change cars, we were to obtain seats in a car when every compartment seemed to be full. There were 33 emigrants from America just left the steerage, and they were dirty and ignorant, but we endured it till we reached Modane. Then we purchased tickets on the second class, which seemed to us like a palace compared with the third class. We reached town several hours earlier than had we ridden on the third class. We went to a hotel and had good accommodations at reasonable rates. Next morning, November 4th, we found it most difficult to obtain any information, as the official within did not talk French or German, but only Italian. This language Sister Ings could not understand, and after much perplexity and fear that the car would leave us, we were arranged in the car for Torre Pellice. Elder Bordeaux met us at the station, and it seemed like home to get back with him again. November 5th, 1886. Torre Pellice. We walked and rode out. Right considerable. Torre Pellice. I spoke to the people in Torre Pellice. It was very bad, disagreeable weather. Yet Sister Revelle came from the mountains to attend the meeting. We had a social meeting after I had spoken. Many good testimonies were born, interpreted by Elder Bordeaux. Torre Pellice. We rode to Villar Pellice. I spoke to a hall filled with people, with freedom. We arrived home just at dark, and I spoke at the hall in Torre Pellice with freedom. It has rained almost constantly since we have been in the Piedmont valleys. We see so much poverty and decrepitude and distress, it is painful to look upon. But when we see the ignorance, the gross ignorance, and the absence of conscience in those who claim to be Christians, we are led to groan in spirit, for we know such an experience will be valueless to them. Christ must be brought into our lives and into our characters, else our profession of the Christian name is worse than not to have known Christ or the truth. We feel deeply over the religious torpor that prevails on every side. There are men who are, with all their powers, warring against the law of God. They are breaking that holy law, and their carnal minds are at enmity with God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, unless, like Paul, they are thoroughly converted. November 11th, 1886. Germain. We took the cars at 9 for Saint-Germain. The fog and rain prevented us having a clear view of the mountain scenery. We rode 15 miles to Pinerolo, and there waited 1 hour and 3 quarters for the train to take us to Germain. We were seated at last in a little box-like car. There were 2 of these, each containing 2 apartments, first and second class. All the difference in these was 1 apartment. The second class had no cushions, and the first class had cushions. We took the second class and rode 5 miles. Then we stepped out in the rain and in the mud and walked about 1/4 mile to the hotel. After going up 3 short flights of stairs, we went through a large room that had several openings but no windows. This was the room in which they dry their clothing. This opened into a room at the left and 1 at the right. Brethren Bordeaux and Ings occupied the room at the right, and Sister Ings and I the room at the left. Here we found a blessing in the room having 2 windows, which gave us a view of the mountains. We placed our simple lunch upon the table and called for a little hot milk, and we enjoyed our dinner. There was no carpet on the floor, and it looked as though it had not been washed for 1 year. The bed was very good. A few little withes were put into the broad fireplace to make a fire, and then a stick or two of wood was added. It was dark and disagreeable. Sister Ings lay down upon the bed, and I on the lounge, and had a good sleep. When we awoke, the fog had passed away a little, so that we had from the balcony a very fine view of the mountains. The Alps seemed to rise in grandeur and touch the very heavens. This is located in a basin-like valley, while the mountains rise upon every side, high up to the heavens. We walked in the mud to the meeting, and the hall was crowded, and many left because they could not find entrance. I had freedom in speaking to those assembled through Elder Bordeaux, spoke to many and shook hands with them. We walked back to the hotel and retired for the night. November 12, 1886. We arise in the early morning, spread our humble fare upon a table, and eat our breakfast. Walked quite a distance in the mud and rain to reach the tram, a small car run by steam which took us to Pinerolo from Germain. There is no depot, and we had to wait out of doors about 15 minutes in the rain. We reached Pinerolo and waited there 1 hour and a half on our upward route. We visited a cathedral. There was a large congregation worshiping. I thought of Paul's description of the people of Athens. They know not what. There stood those dignitaries with white robes embroidered round the bottom, and over these a black velvet surplice or jacket.